Today is Monday, June 14th. What to know about private emails and text messages seized by the U.S. government, who the targets were, and what the Justice Department was looking for. Also, President Biden's busy week continues, what he's accomplished so far on his trip abroad, and what's next on the agenda. Plus, another record-breaking heat wave affecting a large part of the U.S., how much a spare ticket to space went for at auction, and some exciting news that's personal to the Newsworthy family. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in about 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. You ready? Let's do this. The Justice Department is now facing some serious questions over how it investigated some of former President Trump's political enemies, journalists, and even colleagues. Over the weekend, Apple explained that back in 2018, while Trump was still in office, the Justice Department demanded data on more than 100 phone numbers and email addresses. And reports say those numbers and emails belong to certain House Democrats, their staff, and family members. Plus, at least one member of Trump's team, former White House counsel Don McGahn and his wife. Also in recent weeks, the Justice Department revealed the same investigators secretly seized phone records from journalists at news outlets like The Washington Post, CNN, and New York Times. Apple says it normally would have told those people it had to turn over their data when it happened, but in this case, it legally couldn't because of a gag order. That gag order just expired. So why did the Justice Department want their data in the first place? Well, at the time, it was trying to figure out who was behind news stories about ties between certain Trump associates and Russia. In the end, the New York Times says none of the data proved who was behind those leaks. But either way, the current Justice Department's Inspector General, who's supposed to look out for any misconduct, is going to investigate. The NATO summit begins today in Brussels, Belgium. There, President Biden and his 29 other NATO allies have quite a bit to discuss. They're expected to talk about the ongoing withdrawal from Afghanistan, as well as climate change, new technologies, and more. Already, it's been a busy first overseas trip for President Biden. Yesterday, he met with the UK's Queen Elizabeth. That makes Biden the 13th American president to meet with the Queen since she took the throne 69 years ago. Before that meeting, Biden attended a summit of the G7 wealthy democracies. That meeting accomplished quite a bit, too. For example, on climate change, they promised to commit $100 billion a year to help poorer countries cut emissions. On the economy, leaders endorsed an American plan for a minimum global corporate tax rate of 15%. This way, large companies don't shop around the globe to figure out which country can offer the smallest tax bill. On China, they demanded freedoms for Hong Kong and said a full investigation was needed to figure out the origins of COVID-19. Remember, they also agreed to donate 1 billion COVID-19 vaccine doses to poorer countries over the next year. And that's just to name a few of the key promises. But reports say there are still questions about how the proposals will translate into real-world action. To be continued. It's the end of an era in Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu's record 12-year run as prime minister came to an end, and the new prime minister, Naftali Bennett, was sworn in. This is a big deal because Israel is one of the most powerful countries in the Middle East, and the U.S. considers it one of its most important allies. But its political system there is pretty complicated. Remember, four Israeli elections in 2 years ended in a stalemate. So earlier this month, Netanyahu's Israeli opponents, from the left to the far right, reached a deal to form a new government there. Over the weekend, Netanyahu called it a weak and dangerous government, but the Israeli parliament approved it anyway. President Biden already called the new prime minister to congratulate him. The White House says Biden promised to work closely with the Israeli government to, quote, advance peace, security, and prosperity for Israelis and Palestinians. As for Netanyahu, he now becomes an opposition figure in the Israeli government, and he's vowed to fight the new leadership. Manhunts are underway around the U.S. after three mass shootings in just 6 hours. They happened in the cities of Austin, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, and Savannah, Georgia. First, 9 people were shot in Savannah, including a toddler and a teenager, on Friday night. One man was killed. So far, police don't have any suspects or many details about exactly what happened. Then, early Saturday morning, the one in Austin happened. Police say two gunmen opened fire on a crowded downtown street. One person was killed and 13 others hurt. One shooter, who was younger than 18 years old, was arrested. The other is still on the run. Next, less than an hour later in Chicago, two men opened fire on a group of people on the city's south side. One woman was killed. Nine other people were hurt. Police are still looking for suspects in that shooting, too. Sadly, these three shootings are part of a disturbing trend in the U.S. The Gun Violence Archive says so far this year, there have been 267 mass shootings. That group defines a mass shooting as an incident in which four or more people are shot. And it's not alone in tracking the trend. USA Today spoke to a criminologist who blames a lot of divisiveness in the world today on top of more guns and warm weather. He calls it a, quote, potentially deadly mix. Last week, it was the East Coast. Now it's the Southwest turn to have the first major heat wave of the season. Dangerous heat moved in over the Rockies this past weekend, and as the week goes on, more and more people will be impacted. Temperatures are expected to be anywhere from 15 to 25 degrees above normal for this time of year in California, Nevada, Arizona, and Utah. And at least 10 states could experience scorching conditions. We're talking triple digits from California to Kansas. The most extreme heat is on tap for places like Phoenix, Arizona, and Palm Springs, California. There, temperatures could get up to 120 degrees. The National Weather Service started issuing excessive heat warnings and watches last week, and those warnings are expected to last through Friday. Much more news in a moment, but first, your main host, Erica Mandy, is here to talk about this week's sponsor, Rothy's.
It's 2021, and nobody has time for uncomfortable shoes, right? That's where Rothy's comes in. In fact, Rothy's surveyed thousands of customers, and the number one word used to describe their shoes is comfy. And I could not agree more. With Rothy's, you don't have to worry about blisters or break-in periods. Wear them right out of the box and be on your way. And of course, it's more than that, too. With Rothy's, I know I'm getting style and sustainability as well. They have so many options that are always trendy and chic, and yet classic and comfortable at the same time, which makes them my go-to for every occasion, from walking around the block to going out to dinner and more. My favorites are still my red Rothy's flats that I bought a couple of years ago. And of course, I've gone back for more and love every pair. No wonder Pop Sugar named Rothy's one of the, quote, most comfortable and cute flats you'll never tire of wearing. So upgrade your closet with washable, sustainable, stylish shoes and bags from Rothy's. Head to rothys.com/newsworthy to find your new favorites today. That's Rothys, rothys.com/newsworthy.
Popular car makers have become the latest target for hackers. Volkswagen and Volkswagen-owned Audi were hit by a data breach. Information was stolen from more than 3 million customers and prospective buyers, mostly here in the U.S. It includes phone numbers and email addresses collected from 2014 to 2019. VW says the hackers may have also gotten birthdays, social security numbers, and driver's license numbers from customers who applied for loans. Now, the company says it is reaching out to people affected, and it's offering free credit protection. As for how this happened, the cyber thieves apparently hacked a third-party vendor that many Volkswagen and Audi dealerships partner with for marketing purposes. But it's not clear yet who is behind the hack or what they plan to do with the information. VW did report the incident to law enforcement. How much would you pay for an 11-minute flight to space? For at least one person, the answer is $28 million. The mystery bidder won an auction to fly on a reusable rocket made by Blue Origin. Remember, that's Amazon founder Jeff Bezos' new space company. Nearly 7,600 people from 159 countries registered to bid on the flight, but just one person won it. We don't know who they are yet, but Blue Origin says it will reveal the name in the next couple weeks. Their $28 million will be donated to Blue Origin's foundation, Club for the Future. That organization is meant to inspire future generations to pursue careers in STEM. The flight is scheduled for next month. Besides the mystery bidder, Jeff Bezos and his brother Mark Bezos will be on board, along with a fourth crew member. It was another record-breaking weekend at the box office. A Quiet Place 2 became the first movie to earn more than $100 million in American ticket sales since the start of the pandemic. The Hollywood thriller premiered only in theaters on Memorial Day weekend, and it's still only in theaters now. But the movie will be available to stream on Paramount Plus later this summer. Meanwhile, the much-anticipated musical In the Heights debuted this weekend, both in theaters and on HBO Max the same day. But it brought in much smaller audiences than critics predicted. In case you're not familiar, the movie is a musical based on a Broadway show by the same name, written by Hamilton creator Lin-Manuel Miranda. Well, it earned about $11 million at the box office, about half of what was expected. Serbian tennis star Novak Djokovic won his second French Open yesterday. With the win, Djokovic also set a new tennis record. Djokovic is the first man to win every Grand Slam title at least twice in the Open era. The Open era started in 1968, when Grand Slam tournaments were open to pros and amateurs alike. On the women's side, Czech player Barbora Krejcikova claimed two titles at the French Open. On Saturday, she was crowned the singles champion after winning in three sets. Then on Sunday, she and her partner swept their opponents to take the doubles title. The next big tennis tournament is Wimbledon, set to begin 2 weeks from today. And that's it for your main news today, but now it's time for Money Monday, where we talk about one interesting money-related news story. But first, here's Erica again with a quick word about our sponsor, Ritual.
We all deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why, especially when it's part of our daily routines. That's why I appreciate Ritual's transparent approach. They have a one-of-a-kind visible supply chain, so you always know what nutrients you're taking and where they came from. In fact, I first heard about Ritual vitamins from my doctor, and the more I looked into them, the more I became a fan. And now I've been taking them for months. I also appreciate that I don't feel like I have to hold my nose when taking them, and they've never upset my stomach. I can take them with or without food. Plus, with Ritual, I never worry about running out. Ritual multivitamins are delivered every month with free shipping, always. And not only are they offering the Newsworthy listeners a discount, you can also get your money back for your first order if you don't love Ritual within your first month. So get your key nutrients with Ritual. And right now you can get 10% off during your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/newsworthy to start your Ritual today. That's ritual.com/newsworthy.
Now back to Money Monday. It may be the age of streaming, but music lovers still love the quality sound of a vinyl record. The Record Industry Association of America says record sales grew nearly 30% last year. It was also the first time since 1986 shoppers spent more money on records than on CDs. What's perhaps even more surprising? There's also been some renewed interest in cassette tapes. Reports credit popular movies and TV shows on that one. Characters in Guardians of the Galaxy and Stranger Things are seen grooving along to mixtapes, so that might have made some people feel nostalgic. And shoppers are still willing to head to traditional record stores to stock their collections. Hundreds of new record stores have opened in recent years. The AP reports about 1,400 record stores now exist nationwide, and shoppers spend more than $1 billion on vinyl records and CDs each year. Granted, that still pales in comparison to streaming, which sees sales of more than $10 billion a year. But the numbers suggest vinyl records still have a large fan base, and they aren't going anywhere anytime soon. Before we go, we have some exciting news for you. Our main host, Erica Mandy, welcomed a healthy, beautiful baby boy into the world over the weekend. Dax David Mandy was born Friday morning at 8 pounds, 6 ounces. Both Erica and Dax are feeling good. They're back home, and they say hi. We'll be posting some pictures of the new baby on our Instagram this week. So if you want to see Dax or send Erica well wishes, follow us at NewsworthyPod. And of course, thank you for listening today and every day. We'll be back with much more news tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.